This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. Oh,
if you want to show mercy, you must look at the mercy of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A man that can lead you to become a good leader to yourself, to yourself and to your family and to your nation. He is a successful businessman. A man who never lie, who never cheat in doing business. We never send you, O Muhammad, except to bring mercy to all mankind and the universe. To show us the Islam, the mercy that the Prophet have brought to us, not only to human, but to plant, to animal, to your environment. Who taught us this value? La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, Most Merciful. In Arabic, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I open this peace conference sending salams and blessings and greetings upon our last most noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions, his wives, family, and those who follow the right guidance until the last of times. Ladies and gentlemen, I have the honor of presenting our speaker, Sheikh Hussein Yee, who will be speaking on the noble topic, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mercy to mankind. Sheikh Hussein Yee, would you please take the stage, inshallah, and I will thereafter give your introduction. Sheikh Hussein Yee was born in a Chinese Buddhist family. In 1968, he reverted to the religion of Islam. And from 1972 to 1978, he studied in the Islamic University of Medina in Saudi Arabia. From 1978 until 1980, he studied in Damascus University in Syria. In 1981, he became advisor to the Cambodian Muslim refugees in Paris. And from 84 until 85, he was the director of the Islamic Center of Hong Kong, China. Throughout the 80s until 1994, he was also a counselor in Perkim, Malaysia. And in 1994 until today, he has been the president of the Al-Khadim Association, which he is also the founder of. Al-Khadim Association is for dawah and taking care of orphans and single-parent families. He has been organizing dawah and ibadah camps for youth around Southeast Asia Pacific, London, the United States of America, Canada, and the Middle East. Ladies and gentlemen, Hussein Yee, I give you the podium on the topic, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mercy to mankind.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به وأرحم إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن حديث محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Alhamdulillah, all praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all His ni'mah, His bounties, that He have enabled all of us to be here today. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive the sins of all Muslims, the living among us, the one who have passed away among us, our family, our children, those who are present and those who are absent. We ask Allah to forgive all our sins. Amen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the straight path, Sirat al-Mustaqim, the path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have guided the people before all of us. That is the Muhajirin wal-Ansar. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to overcome the bad feeling that we have inside our heart towards fellow mankind and especially towards fellow Muslims. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us so that we will engage with all the activities that please Allah, so that we do not waste our time doing things that do not please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We bear witness there is none worthy to worship except Allah alone. And we bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, the last messenger of Allah, that Allah have sent as a rahmah to all mankind and the universe. Fellow brothers and sisters in Islam, the topic that we are going to discuss is about what Allah has said in the Quran. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ Allah confirmed in this ayah, we, Allah, do not send you, O Muhammad, without a reason, without a purpose, but we send you as a rahmah. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ As a mercy, not only for human, not only for the Arabs, but lil alamin, rahmatil lil alamin. You remember there is one ayah that all Muslims will recite every day in their prayer. There is Suratul Fatiha, ayat Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. We have been reciting this ayah. What is this ayah telling us? What do Allah want us to know about this ayah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to us that when you want to start your prayer, when you want to start your communication with Allah, you start with Alhamdulillah. All praise due to Allah. Who is Allah? Rabb. Allah is the creator, the sustainer of what? Alamin. What is alamin? You, we is an alam. Human is an alam. Jinn is another alam. Angels is another alam. The sky is another alam. The earth is another alam. Water is another alam. The moon, the sky, the moon, the sun, the star, all these are alam. When you combine all the galaxies, then you call alamin. That means Allah is the creator for everything, the creator of the universe. And then Allah said, Prophet Muhammad was not sent to a particular nation. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ And we have never sent you, O Muhammad, except to bring mercy, peace, love to all mankind and also to the universe. Allah used the same term, Alamin. So that is why the Prophet, when he called people to Islam, he is not calling the Arabs only. He is not calling the white, but he called everybody. Even the jinn was invited by the Prophet to come to Islam. Everybody. And the teaching of Prophet, what is the blessing, the rahmah? The rahmah, number one. Before Islam, everybody is living just among themselves. Nation among nation, tribe among tribes. They used to fight with each other. There is no peace. Small matter, they fight. They kill each other because of small thing. There is no peace. The young do not know how to respect the elders. The elders do not know how to show their love to the young one. The woman is not being respected at all. The woman is being an object for the man to use. That's all, nothing more. They have no right as a wife. They have no right as a mother. That is how the situation before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Muhammad to bring unity, to unite human hearts with La ilaha illallah. Because Allah said, إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَا حُفْرَةٍ مِّنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. In Surah Al-Imran, Allah said, all of you live like enemies, fighting, quarreling, hating each other. There's no peace among you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His Prophet Muhammad to unite the human hearts. Because our heart is the same, brothers and sisters. There is no black heart, red heart, white heart, all heart is one color. And there's a beauty, yeah, when we talk about the heart, everybody is the same. Alhamdulillah. So Allah said, I send the Prophet that he is here to unite human hearts. Not only the outlook of the people, but he unites the inner part of us. What is the ni'mah? The ni'mah is Islam. That's why the Islam stands for, I shall love all mankind. I S shall L love A all M mankind. Islam. Beautiful word. That means Islam is not only for you and for me. It's for everybody. So when we talk about Islam, we are representing everyone. And the Prophet was not sent to talk about the Arab. He talked about mankind. And he teach us how to respect each other, love each other. There is the rahmah. We know the Prophet said, "Laysa minna man lam yuwaqqir kabirana wa lam yarham saghirana." You cannot be one of us if you do not know how to respect the elders among you, and the elders do not know how to love the young among you. This is the beauty of Islam, teaching you about love. Not hate, but to love each other. There is a blessing. There is a rahmah. That the Prophet, alhamdulillah, in 23 years of his life, he managed to unite the whole tribe in Makkah. Makkah have 360 tribes. Every idols around the Kaaba representing one tribe, one qabila. But with Islam, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, everybody become brothers. And Allah said, all of you were living at the age of hellfire. Everybody is destroying everyone before Islam. The one who are stronger, the oppressed, the weak one. The one who are rich, they oppress, they exploit the poor. Nobody is helping each other. Everybody is thinking of themselves. Then Islam comes in and save you from destruction and give you peace. You can see, you can go back to the history of Islam. When the Prophet managed to rebuild Mecca and Medina, they have total peace. You can sleep in peace. Nobody dare to touch your property. Nobody dare to steal anything that belongs to you. Because the divine law is very straight. The divine law applies to everyone. Nobody is above the divine law. The law of Allah applies for every single person. There's the beauty of Islam. Islam brings justice, brings security to those who believe in Allah. You can even experience this, brothers and sisters, in the Arab country. In Saudi example, when you go there for Hajj or anything, or Umrah, you can see the people when the call of prayer is on. Why do we call people to pray? Hayya ala salah. We call people to hayya ala falah. We are calling everybody to success. We want everybody to be successful, not only in this world, but also to be successful in the hereafter. And the call is simple. You want to be successful, you want to succeed in your life, hayya ala salah. When the call of hayya ala salah, you see all the Muslim, all the businessmen, all the shop, everybody sees. All business stop. And they don't have to lock their shops sometimes. They just close, take a piece of cloth and cover their goods. They can go and pray. Alhamdulillah. You don't have to lock your car. Nobody steal your car, brother, over there. A young boy can carry one paper bag of American dollars. One plastic bag of American dollar and walk to the bank. Nobody there to harm him. You go to the bank sometime, they will put all the money just on the top of the big table. You want to steal? Welcome. Nobody there to steal. Nobody there to steal. You know why, brother and sister? No woman is being bullied in that country. Any woman, if you shout for help, thief, help me, you see all the men will come up. Every man who hear your call will respond to you. And that guy is going to suffer. Just to show you how peaceful is Islam and the rahmah, the blessing, the mercy that Allah have given to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he have changed the people of Mecca and Medina. Everybody live in peace and they feel very secure. You don't have problem. Do you have this kind of peace here, brother and sister? We don't have that kind. Do we have that kind of peace back home in my country? No. Children, young children is being kidnapped. From time to time, robbery is become normal. But in the time of the Prophet, Allahu Akbar, I feel that when I was in Mecca, when I was in Medina, alhamdulillah, I can feel the peace when you're in the country. And they are not implementing 100% Islamic law yet. Maybe not even 10%. You can see the peace. You can feel the security. How if we implement 100%? Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. See the mercy that the Prophet have brought to the family. The Prophet said, "Khairukum man khairukum li ahli wa ana khairu li ahli." The best among you, O men. He's talking to you, men. I'm talking to you too. To all the brothers in front of me. The Prophet said, "Khairukum man khairukum li ahli wa ana khairu li ahli." The best among you is not how you look. It's not how wealthy you are. It's not whether you are a superstar or no star. The best among you is not because you are Arab, you are whiter than the other brother. You are richer than other people. No. The best among you, the Prophet said, is those who are best to their family. Who is their family? The Prophet pointed to the woman. You want to be the best man, the Prophet said, be best to your wife. You will be the best man. If you do not know how to love your wife, treat her well, respect her, protect her, you cannot be a good man. This is what the Prophet have brought to us. The mercy, the love, the kindness that the Prophet have shown us, that he is very kind and merciful and loving to his wives. Are we kind and mercy to our wife, brother? Brothers, are you kind and mercy and good to your wife? Sister, is the brother good to you? No response. It's a bad sign. They are telling us now there's no response. Why? Because they know that we have not been good to them. You should honor them, love them. Like how the Prophet honor his wife, respect his wife, counsel with his wife sometimes. He did make mushawara with the wife. Even he is a prophet. He didn't seek advice, but he showed good example. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That's why Allah said, indeed, in the character, the lifestyle of Prophet Muhammad is the best conduct, is the most ideal example for you to follow. If you want to show mercy, you must look at the mercy of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you want to see that you are patient, you look at the patience of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is a wonderful man. A man with all the good conduct. A man that can lead you to become a good leader to yourself, to yourself and to your family and to your nation. He is a successful businessman. A man who never lie, who never cheat in doing business. His honesty is been accepted, been acknowledged by his enemy and his friend. So brothers and sisters in Islam, we want to show to Allah that we are thankful to Allah that we become the follower of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We want to believe what Allah said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We never send you, O Muhammad, except to bring mercy to all mankind and the universe. Now the Prophet do not only teach us how to deal with within ourselves. He teach us how to love the environment. Brother and sister, you are here in the camp now. You are here to attend the Peace Vision of Islam conference. And normally, they have food stall here for you to buy food and eat and drink. They got dustbin prepared for you. Or if you are traveling with your family for a picnic, for an outing, you bring food along with you. Do you bring a plastic bag with you? Do you bring a dustbin with you? You should bring along the black plastic bag. Whatever you eat, don't just throw anywhere. The Prophet never taught us to dirty the planet. Make sure the environment is clean. An-nazafa min al-iman. The Prophet said cleanliness is part of iman. You don't like to be in an environment that's all rubbish around you. Before we came to this area, I think all this place has been cleaned up. Alhamdulillah, store is being built on. Business is going on. Now we are coming in. We are eating the food, drinking. After that, where do we throw all our rubbish? You cannot eat your rubbish. Lucky the Prophet said, even your rubbish you must eat. No. You want to throw your rubbish? Where do you throw it? They got dustbin. Do not just eat there, sit there, and after that you know how to leave up yourself and move from that area, but you do not know how to carry all that rubbish around you. That's not good. That means you have no respect and love to the environment. The Prophet reminds his ummah, وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَهَا. Do not walk on this planet Earth with pride. No, but humbly. You must walk on this planet humbly. Like a servant of Allah. This is the teaching of Prophet Muhammad. Do not mistreat your neighbor. Honor them. Because your neighbor have right upon you. The Prophet said, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wa yawmal akhir, falyukrim jarahu." Whoever believes in Allah and the Day of Judgment, honor your neighbor. Respect your neighbor. Your neighbor have right upon you. It's beautiful religion. This is the mercy, the blessing, the love that the Prophet have taught his ummah. Have we been very kind to our neighbor? Wallahu a'lam. Try. You can try. You don't lose anything, brothers. To be good to other people, you don't lose anything. You have more to gain. Because whatever you do, the Prophet wants you to do sincerely for the sake of Allah. Khalisan lillahi ta'ala. Not because you want to be praised by somebody. Not because you want to be rewarded by somebody. No, I just do to please Allah. This is what the Prophet have developed. This ummah. This is what the Prophet have taught the early ummah. And that's why at the end of the day, the Prophet said, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. He stopped there. What is the meaning of this saying of the Prophet? The Prophet said, the best nation, the best people is the people who live in my time. The people who live with the Prophet. Why? Because the Prophet's time, the Muslim, it's not like the Muslim today. Why the Muslim in the time of the Prophet has been honored, highly respected by all tribe and all nation is because the ummah in the time of Prophet is sami'na wa ata'na. Is the ummah who listen and obey. Very obedient ummah. Whatever Allah command them, whatever the Prophet command them, they just said, Sami'na wa ata'na. We hear you, O Prophet Muhammad, and we obey your command. And Allah bless this ummah. That's why the Prophet said, Usikum bitaqwallah. There is no advice that is greater, that have better or greater value in the sight of Islam, except the wasiyat of the Prophet. Usikum bitaqullah. I remind all of you to be faithful to Allah. Why? And how can you be faithful to Allah? Then the Prophet elaborate, he tried to explain further. He said, Wasam'ah wa ta'ah. You can be a good believer, a good person, if you have these two important characters. Be a good listener and obey. How do you feel, brothers? You have a wife who like to listen to what you say, what you want them to do, and they obey you. Do you find peace? Do you find peace, brother, at home? You have children who always listen to what you say and obey what you say. Are you happy to be the father? Do you think you have blood pressure every day? No blood pressure, inshallah. The blood pressure is always normal. Now, every morning you wake up, your pressure go up. When you talk to your husband don't respond to you. Your pressure go up again. When you call the children just pretend that he don't hear you. Your pressure shoot up again. Now, this is what happened to our life today. We live with all these kind of problems, anxiety, worry, because the environment today is not a faithful environment because we don't follow the teaching of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why the Prophet said, the early people is the best because sami'na wa ata'na. We Listen, today we are listening to what the Prophet said. The Prophet said, "Khairukum man khairukum li ahli wa ana khairu li ahli." The best among you, O man, is the one who are best to his wife. I am the best to my wife. Can you be the best to your wife, brothers? I don't hear you. I don't hear you. Alhamdulillah, sister, you are the witness. They say, I don't say. They say to you today that they are going to be a good husband. Alhamdulillah. Now, brother, if you change today, after today, when you walk with your wife, help her. When she walk upstairs, downstairs, be careful. Don't just think of yourself. Give her a helping hand. Let her hold you. If there's an urgency that she wants to fall, you are there to grab her. Or you just want to see her fall. Maybe you will do that. Before you got married, you know, you're walking with your girlfriend, the woman that you love so much. Alhamdulillah. But still not husband and wife yet. Suddenly, she tripped. She fall because of a stone. Small stone. You know what will happen to you? How do you respond? Do you remember? You forget. You will curse that stone. You will scold. What? Who is the one who put the stone there? You will curse that small stone. This stone is the cause that make her fall. But after you got married, if your wife tripped because of that stone again, you are not cursing the stone anymore. You are cursing your wife. Say, are you blind? Don't you see the stone there? You see the changes in the man? Astaghfirullah. Before marriage, you blame the stone. After marriage, you blame your wife now. Do you think a normal wife would like to step on a stone and let herself trip? No. It happens sometimes. Accident happens. But you see the changes in you. You are no more loving to them anymore. You take things for granted. This is my wife now. What is there to love? Yeah. There's more to love to your wife. When she was not your wife, you love her so much. After she become your wife, you don't know how to show love to her anymore. There's something very wrong. And that's what the Prophet said, if you want to be the best, if you are thankful to be the followers of Prophet Muhammad, start within yourself. Show kindness to yourself and show kindness to your wife. Simple. Is that difficult? To love your wife, do you think that you will downgrade yourself? No. Your wife will love you more. When you love your wife love you more, Allahu Akbar, you have more peace. Your house is like a Jannah for you. Your kitchen is like a Jannah for you. The wife will cook the best food for you. Inshallah. She will never put any poison inside your food. But don't ill-treat them. You know, they are the one in charge of your food. Now, when you make them angry, they can make you suffer. Yeah. But not our wife. Our wife, they are a good wife. Alhamdulillah. Qurratul a'yun. Yeah. We ask Allah to make our wife that please our eyes. When we look at them, we feel the coolness of our eye. I mean, this is a beautiful teaching of Islam. And who taught us all this? It's Prophet Muhammad. It's not from me. It's from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Teach you to respect your family, love the environment, and also teach you to honor the animals. You are not supposed to just kill animals without a reason. No. You must respect. If there are cats around, respect their animals. They are another creation of Allah that do not endanger you. Show love and compassion to them. You know the history, what the Prophet has informed us. A prostitute. She lived in doing haram thing. And one day while she was traveling in the desert, she saw a dog dying of thirst. Because there's no water. There's a well there, but the dog cannot just jump into the well. The dog will die too. And this prostitute, a woman who commits sins after sins, with the love and respect to this animal, dog, a dog. He tried her best to bring some water from the well and feed the dog. And the dog drank some water and wiped his tail and said bye-bye to her. Because of that, after a while, she passed away. The angel of Gabriel came to the prophet and said to him, "This woman is a woman of paradise." Just because he showed love and care to an animal. Who taught us this value? The Prophet ﷺ. To show us the Islam, the mercy that the Prophet have brought to us, not only to human, but to plant, to animal, to your environment. Not only to you, but to everything that is around you. Not only to the men, women, children, young and old. There is a mercy. You see the prayer that the Prophet encouraged us to pray. When you pray, the Prophet disliked his ummah. When he prayed, he said, "Oh Allah, give me this. Oh Allah, give me that." You only ask for yourself. That is very selfish. "Oh Allah, forgive my sin." You only ask Allah to forgive your sin. How about the sin of your wife, your parent, your friend? You forget about them. That's why the best prayer is when you ask Allah, you said, "Oh Allah, Allahumma ighfir li hayyina wa mayyitina wa shahidina wa ghaibina wa saghirina wa kabirina wa zakarina wa unsana." Oh Allah, forgive the sin of those who are alive among us. We ask Allah, forgive the sin of those who are alive. And those who have passed away among us, whether our family or not our family, whether we know them or we do not know them, but we pray for them. Oh Allah, forgive the sin of those who are present in this hall today. And forgive the sin of those who are absent, who are not with us. Oh Allah, forgive the sin of the young among us and the old among us. Forgive the sin of the male and the female among us. Beautiful prayer. Even people who are not yet Muslim who are with you. Oh Allah, give them guidance. Open their heart to Islam. We were not taught by the Prophet to curse them, to pass judgment on them, to condemn them. You go to hell, no? The Prophet now called people, "You want to go to hell?" No. He just called people to Jannah. Ayyuhannas, qulu la ilaha illallah. Oh people, let us come and say there's none worthy to worship except Allah alone. We will be successful together in this world and successful in the hereafter. That's why the Prophet said, "Kullu ummati yadkhuluna al-jannah." All my ummah is going to paradise. The Prophet said that. He wants all of us to go to paradise with him. He is not thinking of himself. Day and night, he thinks of us. Every day, he thinks of calling people, saving people. At night, he will ask Allah to bless them. He will ask Allah to guide them. Day he called people, he made da'wah. At night he made dua. We don't even call people. And we don't even pray for them. We are just the opposite. The Prophet is a man of mercy, the man of love. When people curse him, he pray for them. When people throw stone at him, he pray for them. When people abuse him, he still pray for them. Not like the ummah today. But we can still try our best to follow the Prophet, because the Prophet, it was reminded by Allah that he is the best example for everyone who wants success in this world and the hereafter. I have seen some people who are not yet Muslim. They are not yet Muslim, brother. My close friend, Chinese friend, who are not yet Muslim. But they got this good character. They read the book of Prophet Muhammad. And they try to follow his character. Be honest, be sincere, be caring, be loving. And because of that, he becomes so successful. Wherever he goes, people respect him. Whatever he say, people listen to him. But he is not yet a Muslim. Allah is kind. If you want success only in this world, if you follow Prophet Muhammad, you will get the success. You will still get the share. But in Akhirah, Allah only gives to those who believe in him. There are people who follow the character of Prophet Muhammad. try their best. He knows that honesty is the best policy. So when he do business, he is very honest. He never cheat, he never lie. He is very hardworking. And when you trust and he make any appointment, he fulfill whatever he promised with you. Amana, Fatana, Siddiq, all this they try to follow. And they become successful businessmen, successful leader. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brother and sister, make us open our heart, our mind and our eye, and also our ear. When people are talking about Prophet Muhammad, listen carefully. When you see a book about the life history of Prophet Muhammad, open it up and read. Do not only open your eye, but open your mind and your heart, so that whatever you read will penetrate through your heart and stay there. Sisters, look at the lifestyle of Prophet Muhammad. Of course, he is not like our ordinary man. He is a man of God, a man with mission and vision. He is a man who every morning he just think of the ummah. How can he save this ummah? He just don't think of his family. But anytime when he got time with his family, he will give all the love that he can to his family. When he is at home, he helps his wife with the housework. He is not the man today. I am the boss. I bring money. You are my slave. You do everything at home. No. Whatever his wife do at home, he will offer her helping hand. Without his wife ask for help, he know what to do. But also, you know, sister, you must advise your men. Call them to become a real man. A man of responsibility. A man who think of other people, do not just think of himself. Call them to make namaz if they don't pray. Remind them. Call them to do good thing if they do not do good thing. Call them to go out and do da'wah if they do not go for da'wah. Call them to go to the mosque and learn about Islam if they don't go to the mosque. Encourage them. Then inshallah, you become a good Muslimah and mu'mina. Because the Prophet wants you to be a Muslimah and mu'mina. Not just a Muslimah, but Muslimah and mu'mina. Muslim is just like anybody, I become a Muslim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. I'm a Muslim. But a mu'min and a mu'mina is different. A mu'mina is a person, or mu'min is a person who try their level best to do whatever Allah want them to do. And when they want to do what Allah want them to do, they try their level best to learn how the Prophet have taught them to do it. They don't do it according to their liking. They will try to follow the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, because he is the best example. And Allah put a condition. If any one of us today in this hall want Allah to love you, do we want Allah to love us, brothers and sisters? Do we want Allah to love us, brothers? Yes, alhamdulillah. Who do not want Allah's love? Because that is the best thing for you to have. Want Allah love you, He forgive all your sins. All your sin has been forgiven. Allah said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمَ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ زُنُوبَكُمْ. Say, O Muhammad, it's Allah's command. It's not what Prophet want from us. It's what Allah want from us. Allah said to Prophet Muhammad, O Muhammad, say to the people, anyone, not only to Muslim, anyone, say to them, if you say that you love Allah, because all of us say, I believe in God, I love God. How do you love God? How do you show God that I love you? Allah said, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, tell them to follow you. Allah said to Prophet Muhammad, tell the people, if they say they love Allah, they must follow your teaching. By following the teaching of Prophet Muhammad, then Allah said, يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهُ, I accept your love. Any man who come and approach our daughter, to marry our daughter, look into him whether he loves Allah or not. Whether he followed the Prophet's teaching or not. If not, put that as a condition. If you want to marry my daughter, please, please show me that you love Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Follow the sunnah of the Prophet, then Allah will love you and we will love you. And we will accept you with an open heart. That is how you save your daughter. You brought up your daughter to 20 years old, 25 years old. Now you want to pass your daughter to a man, to a stranger. You must know that you pass your daughter to the right man. The man that can protect her, love her, like how you have protect and love her. Don't pass your daughter to a man that will destroy her iman, destroy her future. Don't do that. It's not worth to look at dollar and cent, but you forget to look into whether they love Prophet Muhammad or not. And when Allah love you after you follow the Prophet's teaching, the sunnah of the Prophet, Allah said, وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ زُنُوبَكُمْ, I forgive all your sins. So simple. It is so simple to have your sin forgiven by Allah. Just try your best to follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who Allah have sent as a rahmat lil alamin, as a mercy, blessing, not only to human, but to the universe, to the earth, to the tree, to the animals, to the environment, to fellow mankind, to everyone. We hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open our heart to understand the spirit of the Quran. Not just reciting the Quran with tajweed and try to understand the meaning without understanding the spirit. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the mind and the heart of all of us who are here to understand the spirit of the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That he was not sent only to the particular nation. When the Prophet talked about justice, about love, he do not only talk, love the Arabs, love my family, love my friend. No, love fellow mankind, love the environment, love the animals. That's what the Prophet have taught us. Alameen. The Prophet is here to represent everything. Not a particular nation, a particular country, a particular race. No. He is here, when he talk about Islam, he talk about mankind. He talk about Alamin, the universe. So when we talk about Islam, don't talk Indian. I'm Indian Muslim. I'm a Chinese Muslim. I'm Arab Muslim. You know, Arab, I was better than you. No. The Prophet never said the Arab is better than you. The Prophet said, "Inna akhram makum indallah atqakum." The best among you are those who are more piety to Allah, more faithful to Allah. That is where we are different. Not your color, not your name, not your race, not your oil, not your money. No. It's your faith. Put everybody equal. Alhamdulillah. Now, when we talk about Islam, it's very sad today when we talk about Islam, you still have Muslims, when you talk about Islam, they ask you, which school are you from? They are talking about Islam, and they are asking, which school are you from? And then they say, I am the Hanafi. And then somebody will say, which school are you from? I am the Shafi'i. And what are you? I am the Hanbali. I am the Mat. Astaghfirullah. None of these great imam call any of the students to follow them. They all call their students to follow Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when we represent Islam to everybody. I am a Muslim and Islam is for everybody of us. Everyone, it belongs to all of us. That's all. How can you break into so many sects? How can you be so narrow-minded? When the Prophet is here to teach you to represent the whole people, mankind, you are representing one school of thought. Na'udzubillahi minadzalik. fellow brother and sister in Islam, inshallah, inshallah, if we, me, everyone who is here try the best to follow the teaching of the Prophet, you also, inshallah, will be representing the Ummah. And all of us will bring mercy, love. All of us become caring and loving to each other. And you will see, soon you will see, the result is going to be very, very positive. People who don't like you will like you now. Your family who don't like you will start to love you. Your in-law who is not close to you is getting closer to you. Your neighbor who is far now is getting close. Everything, all the good thing is coming to you. We believe in what Allah said. And we believe in what the Prophet said. So when you follow what Allah and the Prophet want you to do, fellow brother and sister, inshallah, all of us will be blessed. And all of us will be successful in here and the hereafter. May Allah shower His mercy to all of us. May Allah open our heart, our mind, to be a good listener and a good follower. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Inshallah, we are going to end here for Q&A, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
In the beginning and in the end, it's always best to return the greetings when they're given to you in a very loud voice, as we were taught yesterday by our same speaker, Hussein Yi. It is now time to start the question and answer session. And in order to facilitate this, I have some rules which I need to ask you to listen to and to follow. I would first like to make a statement to any non-Muslims who are amongst us here today, that we as Muslims have many opportunities to sit with our scholars and our da'is and our imams and our masjids and our brothers, our fathers, our wives, mothers, and ask questions and receive answers. But for those of you who are non-Muslim, you don't have these opportunities which we have. For that reason, we give you a special preference today here and every day here, every day of this conference, that you may ask any question, make any comments, offer any criticism. You will be given preference at the mic, which means you don't have to wait in line, you just go directly to the front of the line. Don't feel shy to ask any question. Especially on this topic, there are many misconceptions about the Prophet Muhammad going around today, and about the Prophet Jesus, and about the Prophet Abraham, and Moses, and Adam alayhi salam, and all of them, peace be upon them all. So don't be shy and think my question may make someone angry or make someone upset or I might look... No, don't worry about it. Any question which you have on this topic or any other topic, we want you to come up to the microphone, whether you be a male or a female in the sister section, and ask those questions. That being said, I ask the Muslim brothers, if you see someone sitting next to you, that you encourage them to do that. So I'm asking you to assist us in encouraging the non-Muslims, inshallah, because that's what these conferences are for removing misconceptions, inshallah. These are not for converting people. We can't convert anyone. That is with Allah. We don't give the guidance. Allah gives the guidance. But we do deliver the message. So we need them to ask the questions. So please encourage anyone you see to ask a question. We have two mics situated in this hall, one in the front for the men and one here in the front of the ladies section. These mics, inshallah, we would like you to come to in an orderly fashion in one queue. Do not bunch up around the mic. Do not ask your question until you are asked to ask your question. Begin with stating your name and your occupation. You may ask one question at a time. If you have a second question, you should go to the back of the line and wait your turn. If you come to the front again, you can ask the second question. Any question which is written on a piece of paper will have second priority, meaning that if the paper comes to the stage, we will answer it if there are no other questions on the floor. So if you have a question, it's better that you write it and give it to someone else or that you make the question yourself. Questions from Muslims must be on this topic. Questions from Muslims must be on this topic, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mercy to mankind. If you have a question on fiqh, if you have a question on current events, Save that question. It's a valuable question. Either ask it to the scholar when he leaves the stage, or you can go to hall number 5, where all of our speakers, which you see in our program, they regularly sit for counseling sessions. So at this time, inshallah, I'll open the mic, inshallah. I'll start with the brother in the front, then I'll go to the sister section. Brother, could you please state your name, your occupation, and then briefly state your question without too much commentary.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Sayyid Suhail Muhammad. I am a student. My question is, we know that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a very multifaceted personality. Today, even when we are trying to follow his teachings, when we try to do something for Islam in the way of Allah, we limit ourselves to our capabilities and we draw a circle around us and work. And how to achieve this multifaceted personality and work in a multifaceted manner as the Prophet did? Jazakallah.
Fellow brothers and sisters in Islam, we know that we cannot follow the Prophet 100%. But what the Prophet and Allah want us to do is to try our level best. فَاتَّقَ اللَّهُ. Even the Prophet said that if you want to obey me, try your level best to obey me. Now to follow the Prophet's way, there are a few things that I'd like to share with you. Number one, when you talk about the prophets, you are talking about his saying, his action, and his agreement. That means thing that he agreed upon. Among his action and his saying come first. You must try to do what he wants you to do first. What he as a person do, maybe as a human you can't follow them. But just do what he wants you to do. Okay? It's a big issue here. Now, how can we present ourselves? Like how the Prophet present himself in a multicultural, multi-nation environment? There's no problem as long as you try your best to have this four character. That means you must have siddiq in whatever you say, whatever you do. You try to be always in the right side, in the right way. Don't lie, don't cheat. This is number one. Number two, amana. You must always prove to anybody that you interact with, that you are a man that can be trusted. With money, with things, people can trust you. Number three, you must have fatana. Use wisdom. Always use wisdom. When you want to correct somebody, example, he is older than you. Now, how can you advise somebody who is older than you? Do you think it's easy for an elderly person to listen to you? It's not easy. But use your wisdom, inshallah. They will listen to you if you know how to approach them. Yeah. There is fatana. The last one is tabligh. That means you must show to the people that you are a caring and sharing person. You care for them. You want to share where everything that is good, you want to share with people. Then by doing this, people will know who you are, people will respect you, people will come to you. You understand that, brother? Inshallah. We hope you understand. Yeah. Jazakallah khair.
Thank you for the question, inshallah. Brother, go ahead, inshallah. Please state your name and your occupation. And again, inshallah, if there's any non-Muslims, inshallah, you have the preference to the mic.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Muhammad Idris. I am a businessman. My question is that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is mentioned in the world major religions, Hinduism, Christianity, Buddhism, and also Parsi scriptures. My question is that in Buddhist scriptures, Gospel of Buddha, Buddha said to the Nada, his name will be Maitreya, means merciful. One of the title of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is merciful. In the Surah Anbiya, chapter 21, verse number 107, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Then why do not believe in Buddhist peoples, do not believe in Muhammad, peace be upon him, as a messenger of God? Please explain.
Jazakallahu khair. Now when we talk about whether the people before us, whether the teaching of Gautama, the teaching of Moses, the teaching of Jesus, any teaching before us, talk about the coming of Prophet Muhammad or not. Yes, there have been a sign, indication that there will come a man. from the desert. He will come with 10,000 of saints. But when this man appears, a lot of people are not prepared to accept him. Why? There's many reasons. The Jew do not accept him because he's not a Jew. So they ignore him. They know that he's the last messenger. But because he's not from the Bani Israel, no way. Because they are racist. When you talk about the teaching of Buddha, you know there is a time between Moses and Jesus. He did give a signal to his people, but his people forget his teaching. Now, why a lot of people do not accept Muhammad? Maybe because Muhammad was born as an orphan, miskin, where Gautama is a prince. So sometimes you have people, when they want to follow somebody, they want that person to be somebody. But Allah is telling us that is not important in the sight of Allah. Well, money is not important. What is important is the heart. Qalb. Allah said, يَوْمٌ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَطَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Remember the day that nothing will benefit you. Your property, your children cannot help you. The only thing that Allah will look into us is what is in your heart. The same goes to the people of the book. Ignore Muhammad is because of that. They have their own personal reason. But Allah is great. The truth is the truth. وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلُ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. When the truth appears, falsehoods will disappear. It's a matter how strong we hold to the truth. Now we know that all prophet was also sent to bring mercy, to bring love. But they are not sent lil alamin. There is a difference. They are sent to Bani Israel. They are sent liqawmihi. Allah used the word Bani Israel or liqawmihi. But Prophet Muhammad, linnasi ajma'in. There is the difference. So inshallah, by we who understand this, we bring this message back to them, so they will understand. We hope Allah will give guidance and make them accept Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jazakallahu khair.
This question will come from the sister section. If the sister would please state her name and occupation before stating the question briefly. Questions should be pertaining to the topic Muhammad, mercy of all mankind, unless it's from a non-Muslim.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Shaykh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This is a question from one of the sisters from the audience. It is said that both men and women are allowed to do dawah. In case if a woman's husband doesn't allow her to do the dawah, does she have the right to still proceed with it without his permission? Or what is she supposed to do?
Yeah, the Prophet ﷺ was sent as a da'i. As a da'i. Not just as a mercy, but also he is sent as a savior, as a caller. And the Prophet said to his ummah, بَلِّغُ أَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. You must convey from me, even one ayah that you have learned about Islam, you must convey it to others. Now, the work of da'wah is not only fardu to the man, no. Because Allah said, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بَعْدُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْدٍ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ إِلَى الْآخِرَةِ آيَةً. Male and female believer, they complement each other, they help each other, they become supporter for each other. Husband or wife, brother or sisters, all are together in one team, one ummah. And both of them have the responsibility in calling people to ma'ruf and stopping people from munkar. That means da'wah Islamiyah is wajib upon both parties. But what happened? Must the wife seek the permission of the husband before going for da'wah? Yes, it is a must. But a good husband will never stop you. If your husband stops you, that means you have the wrong husband. So we hope that you don't have the wrong choice. Make the right choice always. Make sure that your husband loves Allah and the Prophet. Inshallah, they will not stop you. But one a husband who just thinks of himself, then you got the wrong husband. Yeah. We hope that this man will change. Of course, we want Islam have adab. Both must do the same thing. But there are certain things that when the woman wants to do, they must seek the permission of the husband. Give you one example. Fasting is wajib for you to fast Ramadan, the same go to the man. But when you come to the optional fast, you cannot fast without the permission of the husband. Anything optional, you must seek the permission from the husband, because obeying your husband is fard, is wajib. All the thing that is wajib cannot be overruled by sunnah. Because the Prophet said, "Inna Allah la yaqbalu tatawwa'a hatta tu'addi faridah." Allah will not accept any optional deeds when what is wajib is not been honored, been followed first. So sisters, inshallah, it is your duty, but you must inform your husband. And a good husband will never stop you. They will encourage you. They'll give you the support. Jazakallahu khair.
At this time, inshallah, I would like to take a question from the male side. If we have the gentleman would please state his name, his occupation, and then please state the question briefly.
Assalamu alaikum. I am Zahir Basha, working in a private company here in Chennai. And brother, my question is, in your talk you said about a prostitute lady who loved a dog and she'll go to paradise, inshallah. So if this is the case, is love the only criteria to enter into paradise? Or like, don't we need to pray, or don't we need to give zakat and perform hajj and all? So what is the main criteria to enter into a paradise?
Now, if I'm not wrong, the brother is trying to ask me back on the story that I relate early about the prostitute lady. Now, we know that all this incident took place when the Prophet was in Mecca. And when the Prophet was in Mecca, there is no salat yet. Salat only started to become compulsory when the Prophet was invited for the night journey, Isra and Mi'raj, 2 years before the Hijrah. In the early part, anybody who become a Muslim, and if they still do something wrong, may Allah forgive them. Because Allah said, whoever do not commit shirk, I forgive them. But if he die, she die committing shirk, then Allah said, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرْمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever die in a stage of making shirk to Allah, Allah forbid them entering paradise. But in the early stage, a lot of people still do a lot of bad things. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all forgiving, yeah, and all merciful. Yeah. But later on, when fard salat is wajib, sawm is wajib, zakat is wajib, then every Muslim must follow the other obligation. You cannot say, okay, I don't have to do that. As long as I believe in Allah, I go to paradise. It's not just like that. Jazakallah. That's what I'm going to tell you now.
Jazakallah khair. I hope that answer was sufficient for you, inshallah. Sister, could you please state your name and your occupation?
Assalamu alaikum. This is a question from one of the sisters in the audience. She asked that Sheikh told that a woman who took pity on the dog went to paradise. She became a woman of paradise. So that it says that we should show pity on animals. Then she asked, why do we slaughter animals like goats and other such animals on the eve of Bakrid? Jazakallah.
Jazakallahu khair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran remind us, huwa allazi khalaqalakum ma fil ardi jami'a. He created everything on this earth to serve us. There are animals that Allah created to serve us. The meat is halal for you. The male is halal for you. The skin is halal for you. Now, like slaughtering of goat or animal that is halal, it is part of the sunnatullah. The thing that is haram if you kill the animal without a purpose. Now India is having an outbreak of what? Of bird flu. Now killing this bird now, it is wajib. Before the virus is going to spread and bring more harm to the country. You cannot say, oh, even what happened, you must show mercy to this chicken. You must show mercy to the, yeah, you show mercy to them by saving them from harming other people. But the meat that Allah want you to slaughter is for a purpose, for the sake of Allah. It is allowed. And you must do it with full of love. Mean you must slaughter it nicely and make sure that he die fast. That is how we slaughter the animal. Yeah, you must show mercy to the animal. We cannot just torture them to death. It is haram. If I'm not wrong, that's what I understand, sis. If I got the wrong message from you, please. You can still ask me after this. Yeah, in outside here, you know, with a small group, inshallah. I'm just saying that time you slaughter for a good purpose, it is allowed. Killing for a reason that is allowed in Islam is allowed. Yeah, but without a reason. Like you know, dog you cannot eat. But when the dog do not bring harm to you, why must you torture him? You remember there's a story that somebody was punished because of the cat. They tie up the cat, they don't even feed the cat. And the cat died because of that. And Allah punished that person because he is cruel to the animals, to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakallahu khair.
Spread the word, oh man. Spread the word of Islam. Oh, fortunate one. Paradise must be won. Paradise must be won. Each day and each night. Through darkness and through light. Cry it out to the world. Spread the word.